everyone. It is another Lord's Day, and we are here together to worship Him and to give Him the praise that He deserves, because from everlasting to everlasting, He is God.
Yes.
I am especially glad to have with us Brother Bailey back in the saddle, worshiping and praising God again. God has been very good to him, and he has waited patiently on the Lord, and God has rewarded him with that patience. And I just want to bless the Lord this morning and say thanks for giving our brother the ability to come and sing again, so that God's people be blessed by the very voice and the contribution that he has made. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And to all the brethren, all the men folks that are here with us today, your voices are not being heard, yes, as Pastor Fiona made mention of it, but you are here, and we give God thanks for you. I think of Brother Michael, and I think of Brother Dudley, and others who are here with us. And I just give God thanks that he remains faithful. Whatever he says, that he will do. Hallelujah. And there are some of us who are not very well in body, Brother Barker and others. I just want to encourage you to continue to hold on to the one whose hands are firm in this situation. He is the rock. He is our hiding place.
Amen.
When we think of the storm that had just passed, when you look at some of the clippings from the news, you find that some people were rescued. And before the rescue came, they were just holding on to something that stopped them from being swept away. And so this is our situation here. We are holding on to the rock that we know is not going to move. And that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage all the brethren to continue to be steadfast. So glad to have our sisters with us too. What men Sunday would be like without our sisters being part of it. In the background to say praise the Lord. In the background to say hallelujah. In the background to give that more support to us each time that we come here on the second Sunday. To God be the glory. We are glad to have you, sisters. Today I would like to share a word from the passage that we have read. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1 to 3. And I might spend most of the time on verse 1. And if needs be, then I'll come back and do the other section another time. But I would like to exhort us under the topic, the honor of being called a son by God. The honor of being called a son by God. Many of our members, in fact, it is fair to say that all of our members who have served the Lord for many years have experienced difficult moments, challenging times, whether it is from the outside world or whether it is from the workplaces or whether it is from family or wherever. Many of God's people, and most of you here too, have experienced challenging time. Some might come through the gateway of sickness. Some might come through the gateway of disappointment. So different things that have caused our members to experience difficult moments in our lives. And some of us are coming from a long way. Not just yesterday we received salvation. We have received salvation for years. For years. And still continue to serve the Lord. And to you, you might be feeling a little unsure. You might be having what is called a John the Baptist moment. John the Baptist was in prison and he heard that Jesus was out there and he was wondering, why is it that Jesus did not came and visit him in prison? And so what he did was to send his disciples to Jesus to find out whether or not he was really the Christ. And to let that part of it be short, Jesus sent back a message to him, declaring who he really is by way of the message. Tell John, the blind was able to see. Tell John, the lame is able to walk. Tell John, the deaf was able to hear again.
Yes.
And if you forget to tell John everything, tell John that the poor of the gospel preach to them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because this is the Jesus that John introduced to the world. And he was out there, but John had already said, I must decrease and he must increase. So I'm saying to the church this morning, I'm saying to all of us here who have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, and you have waited and you have served in witnessing, in helping somebody else along the way, in serving the church so as to have us continue to witness even on this platform. The fact that you're here doing praise and worship, doing prayer, leading the service, and praising and worship God are all a part of the mix of service. As you work continually in the vineyard to spread the gospel, and you might be wondering whether or not all of the effort that I have put in there are wasted. All of the interest that I've shown over the years have gone without notice. All of the witnesses that I've done, spoken to people from different sections of society, you are questioning as to whether or not all of those are in vain. We wonder, like John the Baptist, if he was the Christ, he is the one that said that he would come, or do we look for another? But the scriptures, our answer is to be found in the scriptures. Our answer to all these areas of concern are to be found in the scriptures. And what we find here is in this passage, in John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. John, decide to call out, to shout out, to get the attention of his hearers. Anybody who would listen, anybody who would look, John is making a shout. It is a triumphant shout. It is a shout of assurance. It is a shout of profound victory. John is making here. When he said, behold, look, he is inviting everyone to look. Look, there is something spectacular. There is something capturing. There is something that is of vast importance. I'm inviting everyone to look. Behold, he described. And as far as listeners are concerned, as far as eyes are concerned, John is zeroing on something that has captured his imagination, has captured his attention, and he wants to share it to others because of the importance of what he saw. What did he saw? What did he saw? He tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. 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 What a statement. After shouting for attention, the revelation that burst in the servant of God is that the overwhelming love of God has produced. You remember what the Bible said in John 16. In John chapter 3, verse 16, I beg your pardon. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many of as much as it is the golden text of the Bible, but many of us just glance over it without actually stopping to see the depth of what God is saying. And here is John expressing his admiration for what God has done. And he's drawing attention to it. This is not an everyday thing. This is something outstandingly different. When he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, not himself, but upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. we'll be looking at the word we in a minute, because in these two verses of scripture, he uses the word we 6 times to include others, to include you, to include me. And we will be looking at that composition in a little while. But for now, he is saying what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon. Look, it is not, when John look, John is not saying, he's saying, what manner of love he has bestowed upon us that we should be called pastors. That we should be called bishops. That we should be called evangelists. That we should be called apostles. John didn't say any such thing. John said to be called sons. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. And I want to tell you that being called a son by God, you being called, and we are cutting across the gender here. When John made a statement, John made a statement in regards to men and women, cutting across the gender. Paul said in Galatians that there is no male or female, there is no bond or free, there is no Jews or Gentiles. But we are one in Christ Jesus. So John is saying, when John make the statement and call and tell what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, that is including the woman as well. We are one in the Lord. And John saw a company. John is looking on a company of people on which the love of God is bestowed. And I want to say to the church this morning here, any feeling, any one of you, any feeling of hissiness, I wonder if, like John the Baptist, need to be disappeared, need to go. Because in the light of one of what John is revealing to us here, behold, as he look on the vast company of believers, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the sons of God.
Yeah.
And I realize how many successful men there are in the world. Not only present living, but men who have died long time ago, but their names are left behind because of their achievements. And how many wish that they would be attached to any one of these successful men. There are men who were successful in academia. There are men who successful in politics. There are men who successful in war. There are men who have left their name in finances. There are men who have left their name behind in so many different categories. And somebody would say to themselves, they would wish to be called by that name or that name, or having a touch to that particular person. But today we are learning here from John that none other than God, none other than God, is saying He is calling us sons. And to you and me here in this service this morning, we need to treat this as a tremendous honor upon us to be called the sons of God. If you have nothing else, my brother, if you have nothing else, my sister, to boast about the fact that you are a son of God, you are a child of God, hallelujah. And what caused you to be a child of God? The love of God. I heard a songwriter said, the love of God is wide, wide as the ocean. The love of God is deep, deep as the sea. The love of God is high, high as the heaven above. That's the love of God to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has demonstrated His love to me, to the extent that when we were yet sinners, when we were enemies to Him, Christ died for us. I don't think that there is anything come close to that for any other quarters. John brought attention to this fact and asked somebody else to help him to see, to look on this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knew it us not, because it knew Him not. It knew Him not. The world, our service, our operation, our continuous interest in the work of God is going to be contrary to the world's thinking. Because in their mind, they have not seen the end result of what we are doing. But we know we are a people that lives in hope. We are a people that lives according to the dictates of the Bible, according to what the Bible prescribes. And we know that this is not the end of it. We are sojourners. We are just passing through. And what we are doing as we are passing through, we are occupying. And John looked and John saw this company. And John invited others to come and take a look. Now let's look on the composition. Let's look on the composition of this church, of this company that John saw. Because it is important that we understand that God is not a partial God in his love. We need to understand that God's love is of such that it is without partiality. And that is what makes the church so unique and so important. So I'm going to look on a few verses here as we try to dive a little deeper into the company that John saw, why he invites others to take a look. Luke chapter 14. And let me read from verse 21. And I read on to verse 22. Verse 21 and 22 in Luke chapter 14. Jesus gave this parable of a man making a banquet, putting on a banquet and invite many. And when things were ready, he discovered that those who were invited, each of them sending an excuse that they could not attend the banquet. But after receiving that news, listen to what happened here. In verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things that I've just said a while ago. Then the master of the house, being angry, and after all, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't after you have gone through all this preparation and invite people and they end up making excuse for not coming? So he was angry, says the word here, and said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither, listen to these four descriptions here carefully, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. That last verse, I'll come to it in a minute. Listen to what Jesus said. The servant, the instruction that was given to the servant. Go out there and do it quickly. Into the streets and the lane of the city. And invite to the banquet. The art. No, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Handicaps of different types. When we look into the church as it is right now, the body of Christ, they are believers who are without sight right now, living in the body of Christ. They are believers who are without sight. They are believers who are without feet. They are believers who are not able to move. They are believers who are poor. And when I said poor, I mean poor and bowless us. There are believers who are in different disabled conditions. Right now, as we speak, in the church that makes up the body of Christ. When we think about the soldiers coming back from war, some of them came back without hands and without feet, only a trunk that is left. And in that trunk, they are worshiping God. When we think of the different people in the different stages of their lives, living in their family homes, some of them have 2 feet and 2 hands, but they are not able to move. They are called sons of God. When we think of others who are not able to furnish themselves with a meal every day, they are called sons of God. When we think of others who are being persecuted every day, they are called sons of God. When we think about the vast company of believers all over the world that is in the body of Christ, John is calling attention to say, look on the composition of what makes up the body of Christ. People who are disabled, they are called sons of God. I thought we would stop here. In the company that John is drawing attention to, there are people who were once identified as murderers. There are people who was once identified as prostitutes. There are people who was once identified as dishonest broker in finance. There are people who were identified as homosexual. They are all in the body of Christ. John and Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, after he gave a list of some of these sins that are out there, Paul at the bottom, like a footnote, he said, and such were some of you. After listing a wide range of things that should prevent people from inheriting the kingdom of God, Paul ended up saying, and such were some of you. All in the body of Christ. There is no greater demonstration of God's love than to see the composition of the body of Christ. Because you and I would be looking for the cream of the crop to make up an organization that we probably want to establish. We wouldn't go around looking for the poor, the hurt, the blind, the needy. We wouldn't go around looking for prostitutes and murderers. We would not do that. That is humanly speaking. But God in his love, God in his love, so that the church, the body of Christ, should be built up of the widest cross-section of society. As long as they repent and come into the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so I mentioned that I would leave this last verse here, verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. I have gotten in the lame. I've gotten in the blind. I've gotten in the poor. And I've gotten in the other one there. But yet, after having all of them in, I find that there is still room. After receiving all of those people into the banquet, there is still room for the achievers, the academic. There is still room for the politician. There is still room for the bodybuilder. There is still room for Miss America. There is still room for the president. The cream of the crop. There is still room in God's kingdom. Because of the depth of God's love, there is still room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you think about the composition of the body of Christ, you cannot help but admire, like John, the depth, the height, the length, and the width of God's love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And I want to just say to the church today that it is an honor. It is an honor to be called the Son of God. By God. I'm not talking about by somebody else. By God, you are a son. Tremendous honor. And I want you to pick yourself up to the church. And I want you to shout for joy, church. And I want you to be more excited in what you do, because you are being called a son by God. Now, as we get further into this, then we will discover what it really means to be called a son. We might not get there today. Obviously, we will not. But we will eventually get there to describe the real benefit of a son in the economy of God. So the next thing that we would like to look on here, and this probably is the final thing for us today, is John is excited about the fact that we are called the Son of God based on the depth and magnitude of God's love. But the question that we should ask ourselves, is the Godhead in sync with John? Is the Godhead in agreement with all the excitement that John is making? Is John alone? Or the Godhead is in agreement with him? Let's look on three passages of scripture to see if we can get a glimpse as to what is happening here. The first one we want to look on is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look on 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I read verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Reading verse 17 and 18. And this is the Father speaking now. This is the Father addressing this. 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. The Father is speaking. And I will be a father with member of the Godhead. I will be a father unto you if you come out from among them and separate yourself to serve the true and living God. I, the Father, is promising that I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Father speaking here. Giving is assurance. Of calling you and I sonship. Sons are giving us sonship because we have come out from among them and we have separated ourselves unto the Lord for service. So I'm saying to all of us here, all the service, all the work you have been doing, just take this verse of scripture here. You're not doing it in vain. Because the Father is saying to you right now that I promise to be a father unto you. And he went on to emphasize it even a little bit more. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's a commitment. That's an assurance coming from the Father. So we see right away that John is in sync with the Father. Let's look and see what the Son has to say on this subject. We go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Listen to verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. And I read 11 as well. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus, the Son, signing off here, agreeing with John, in the sense that we are called sons because of the love of God. So we are the Father, the member of the Godhead. The Son, the member of the Godhead, agreeing with John. What about the Holy Ghost? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Because we want to know whether or not all three members of the Godhead is in sync with John. Enjoying this excitement and drawing the attention of the love of God that produces a son. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are called the children of God. The Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are to be called what? The children of God. And verse 17, which is going to link us into the other section of the presentation, which I will not be able to do today. But let's read it anyway. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. This is what is going to link us to the second half of this presentation, which we are not going to do today. But here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in sync with John by declaring that the love of God has delivered. It has delivered in the sense that it has produced sons and daughters. And not only producing sons and daughters and being and show partiality here, but its dragnet is wide in the sense that it has taken on the blind, the halt, the lame, and the poor. And as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6, the list that he named there, that they cannot enter the kingdom of God, when we look into that list, we are seeing different types of people who have committed acts. And Paul said, and such were some of you. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is made up of all these, drawing from every quarter to produce what is called the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to the church today, you are here and you are working. You have worked over the years. You have produced. You have loved God. You have served God. And you are determined to continue to do so. I want to encourage you by God's word today that God has honored you by calling you a son, by calling you a daughter, by calling you the children of God. God has honored you. And John made this big excitement to all who would listen. And he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the Son of God. My brother, my sister, in a time like this that we're living, where there seems to be the involvement of the enemy in so much different areas of society that cause us to wonder, I believe this word of scripture is a comforting word to us, that amidst all of this, you are being called a son by God. You are being called a daughter by God. You are being called the children of God. And it is not just John who is saying this, but the Father is saying it. The Son is saying it. The Holy Ghost has signed off on this fact that we are the children of God. And in closing here, John, in speaking about Jesus, told us in St. John chapter 1, I think 12:13, he came unto his own, and that explained the banquet that Jesus spoke of. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All of those to whom Jesus came, for which the banquet was prepared, they didn't receive him. But as many as received him, the halt, the blind, the lame, to them gave he power, the authority, to become the sons of God. Even to those who believe on his name. That's what he said here in St. John chapter 1, 12, 13. Which were born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. The children who were born through faith in God, they are the children. They are the sons of God. Declared John here in St. John chapter 1, 12, 13. They are born not of the world. They are born of the Spirit into the family of God. Whether they have any hands, whether they have any feet, whether they are able to see, whether they are able to walk, whether they have any money, whether they have anything, they were born into the kingdom of God. And they are declared sons by God. And I want to say to the church that it's a honorable calling, a honorable title, to be called the Son of God, the daughter of God, the children of God. Yeah. That dismisses totally what you have in worldly position. That dismisses totally what somebody else have in worldly position. The line, the bottom line, is to be called the Son of God. The question is, are you here in this company and you are not sure if John is signed off on you, if the Father is signed off on you, if the Son is signed off on you, if the Holy Ghost is signed off on you as a son? That's the question. You don't know. I want to tell you that it can be today. It can happen today. Based on what John said here, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. He's ready to give you the authority. He's ready to call you son. He is ready to call you daughter. He is ready to, the Holy Ghost is ready to seal you into the body of Christ. And John, with his excitement here, invites everyone to look and see what the love of God has done. You will be included in that company. Masking today. If you are here and you are humble enough, you're humble enough, hallelujah. Because when I look at the composition of the body of Christ, I saw humility. Humility. I'm asking if you're humble enough in this company, you're here and you're not sure. And I believe that the word tells, the Bible says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we say that we would pray for you, trust me, that prayer goes a far way. That's all the Lord asks us to do. Pray. So if you're here and you're humble enough, and you'd like to be included in this company that John saw and draws everybody's attention to, it can be done. Because Jesus, because the word said to us, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So you are here today, you're not sure. I would like to hear you say, pray for me, that I might be included in that company. You're a daughter, you're a son. Pray for me, that I might look away from the world. As the Bible said, the Father said, come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord. And I will be what? A father for you. I will stay with you. Are you here in this company? Hallelujah. 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 And you are humble enough to give your life to the Lord, we will pray right here for you that the Lord will lead you into the company of believers that serve him. And the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will sign more on your entry into the kingdom, into the body of Christ. Are you here? Father, we just bless your name this morning, this afternoon. And we say thanks to you that you have enlightened us with your word. We intend to devalue ourselves and our service. But here we discover you are elevating us. You are elevating us to sonship. And it is not just John, but it is you, Lord. It is the Godhead that has elevated the people who are here in this meeting to sonship. We thank you. And we thank you that we can come and be a witness to that fact, knowing that it is not only in this meeting that this word is going to be heard. But when it goes on the internet, others will know that you have signed off too on what John said, that the company of believers is vast and diverse, that makes up the body of Christ. Lord God, today, if there is somebody right now listening, Lord, who have not yet made up their mind to serve you and is willing and humble enough to look away from the pollution of the world and to look to you, I pray, Lord God, that you will receive them to yourself and let them become a part of the body of Christ. Oh God, we thank you for mercy We thank you for your love, the demonstration of your love. For God so loved the world. We have seen it demonstrated in these passages of scriptures we have just read. And we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.